so we will hope that there will be good results this time also. If I were to announce my subject this morning, I wonder what you'd think. But let's see. Growing. Growth. Growth. Everybody would say, oh yeah, yeah, that's a good thing. Yeah, that's true. Growth. We all need to do that, don't we? But it's that this is one of those things that it's so easy for us to take, and all of us agree that it's a good thing, something everyone can chime in with and say, yes, we need to grow. Yes, growth is important. But then we don't do any further with it. So as I thought about this during my day yesterday, driving along the road, I thought of a lot of things that I hoped would maybe make this subject a more practical subject. So I want to start out by helping us to understand that in order for growth, and I'm talking here about personal growth, I'm not talking about the numerical growth of the church, I'm talking about personal growth of each person here. In order for growth to have taken place, there has to be change. Now, you see that you can't say you have grown, nor can I contemplate growth spiritually without some kind of change taking place. We're going to have to be better. We're going to have to be stronger. We're going to have more knowledge. Something's going to have to change. We must have improved, and failure to do this is a clear indication that growth has not taken place. I think that growth is one of those things that it's so natural for it to happen, and yet I'm convinced that so often growth does not happen. Growth does not happen because in the spiritual areas of life, growth does not happen automatically. Growth does not occur without planning it and without working for it in the spiritual areas of life. And so as I thought about the matter of growth, I thought, now what really makes it possible? What would have to be true for growth to occur? And so the first thing that comes to my mind is, first, we must recognize that we need to grow. Now, again, what if I ask you, do you need to grow? We all, But I want to know, do you really feel like there's anything you need to do to get better? Is there anything you can get better at spiritually? Is there anything I can get better at? Or do I in my mind think, well, I can't think of anything I can get better at. Well, I hope we don't have that attitude. But we may have that attitude subconsciously and not be facing it. I want us all to be very honest as we look at ourselves and think about this. We must recognize the need to grow. And sometimes we simply blind ourselves to the fact there are huge areas where we need to improve, but we simply don't look at them. We don't think about them. We don't face them. And we have to do that in order to grow. Now, these areas where growth is needed will vary from person to person. Some persons will not need to grow near as much in some areas as others will, and vice versa. But in Philippians chapter 3, I read some verses about a man that if I had to select a man other than Jesus about whom I could say, well, he didn't need to grow, it would be Paul. Paul the Apostle. And yet when we read these words of Paul in Philippians 3, we find that even such a one as Paul the Apostle needed to grow. Listen to these words. And again, this is one of those majestic passages, those many majestic passages that Paul wrote, taking up in about verse 8 of Philippians 3. Yea, verily, I count all things to be loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. All of the things that Paul might have clung to, all of the things that he might have said, I can't give these up. He did give them up. He not only gave them up, but he gave them up so readily and so completely that he said, I count these as garbage. I count all things to be lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but garbage, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of mine own, even that which is of the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, becoming conformed unto his death, if by any means I may attain unto the resurrection from the dead. Paul is seeking to attain unto the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained or am already made perfect, but I press on, if so be that I may lay hold on that for which also I was laid hold on by Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus had laid hold on Paul, as if to take Paul into his embrace, as to take Paul into his employ, as to take Paul into his service, so that Jesus had laid hands on Paul as if to bring him into his service. But now Paul, recognizing the things that Christ brought him to receive and to attain unto, Paul says, I strive to lay hold on those things for which he laid hold on me. You know, now what that means is that every one of us who is a Christian, we can also say that Christ has laid hold of us to bring us into his discipleship. But he brought us into this relationship for some reason, for some things that we were to do. Now then, we are to lay hold on those things for which he laid hold on us. And that's what Paul is saying here. Brethren, I count not myself yet to have laid hold, but one thing I do, forgetting the things which are behind and stretching forward to the things which are before, I press on toward the goal, under the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And Paul says, that's what I strive for. That's what I aim for. I aim to reach that calling for which I was laid hold on, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as are perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything you are otherwise minded, this also shall God reveal unto you. Only whereunto we have attained, by that same rule let us walk. When we grow to a point, then we need to walk according to that level that we have reached. We don't need to go back and live at a level lower than we're capable of living. When we have attained unto a certain point in our strength and development spiritually, then we need to walk at that level, and not walk at a previous level or a lower level. Walk at that level that we have attained. We all ought to do that which we know to do. And Paul also wrote of himself in 1 Corinthians 9 in verse 27 and said that I buffet my body to keep it in subjection. There were areas that Paul still had to work diligently on. He wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4. And he also wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy. And in both of these letters, he had a lot to say about Timothy's own personal growth. So in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verses 14 through 16, neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Now we don't know what specific gift that was, but it was given with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. The presbytery would be a term for the elders of a church. Now in 2 Timothy, Paul mentions the gift that was given him by the laying on of his hand, Paul's hand. That would have been some kind of a miraculous gift. There is nothing to indicate that the gift here was a miraculous gift. It was nevertheless a gift. And he says here, it was given thee by prophecy. I therefore think this is referring to a spiritual gift of some kind or other that was given to Timothy by the ordinary means of Scripture and the encouragement of others and so on. Whatever that gift was, though, he says, do not neglect it. Be diligent in these things. Give thyself wholly to them that thy progress may be manifest unto all. Be diligent in these things. Exercise that which you have been given, Timothy. Take heed to thyself and to thy teaching. Continue in all things. Continue in these things, for in doing this, thou shalt both save both thyself and them that hear thee. Take heed. That word is interesting. Take heed. See, this has to do with the need for us to recognize that there is some way in which we can yet grow. And Paul is encouraging Timothy to do that. Be diligent. Work at it. There is a need to grow. And you know, there is a tendency in people that the more ability they have, the lazier they tend to be with it. If you have enough ability that you can just coast, then there is a tendency just to coast. But what Paul is teaching Timothy is a lesson that we all need to understand. That the more ability you have, the more responsibility you have to develop and use that ability. And do you really realize what a waste it is to be given great ability and then not use that ability? Oh, there is a need to grow. But a second point that I need to make is that for us to recognize this need in ourselves, we have to be able truly to look at ourselves and to see the areas where we fail or do not measure up as well. But this is a hard thing for many people. We could just pretty well say it's a hard thing for all of us to do that. There are several passages that highlight the difficulty of this. Why is it that we are so good at seeing what others aren't doing? Why are we so good at that? We seem to be gifted at seeing what others aren't doing and where others fall short, but we seem to have a problem looking at ourselves. You may by now be recalling the passage where Jesus said, "Judge not, that ye be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged. And with what measure you meet, it shall be measured unto you." Now let's stop there for just a moment. There are any number of other verses that make it clear that we do have to have the ability to look at a person, to listen to what they say, and to make a judgment about them. For example, John writes in 1 John 4 and verse 1, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but prove the spirit." Now that means to test, to examine, to assess. He says himself in this very chapter, in verse 15, "Beware of false prophets that come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravening wolves. By their fruits you shall know them." So when he is saying, "Judge not that ye be not judged," he is not just making a blanket statement that we are not to ever exercise any judgment. If that were the case, then Paul could not have written the Corinthians and told them that they needed to be able to see the wickedness of the man that was there among them, and they needed to know what to do about it. He said, "The decision is clear. Why are you having a problem with that?" So the point that Jesus was making here is that when we tend to judge everybody else harshly and we don't cut anybody else any slack, then what God is telling us is that then He's going to judge you harshly too. And He's not going to give you any slack either. This has to do in dealing with other people. This is not really dealing with the subject of my judging the false teacher. This is in connection with my dealing with other people and demanding of them more than I demand of me. You know, and holding them up to higher standards than I hold myself up to. That's what Jesus was talking about. That's why He said, judge not that you be not judged. And with what measure you meet, it'll be measured unto you. And listen now as He goes on. And why beholdest thou the speck that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam, the tube of six, that is in your own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me cast that speck out of thine eye, and lo, the tube of six is in your own eye. Thou hypocrite, cast out first the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. You know, one of the interesting things to note here in passing is Jesus was not saying that the mote doesn't need to be cast out. He wasn't minimizing that. What He was getting at was the hypocrisy and the blindness that we sometimes have, which makes it impossible for us to see where we need to go and what we need to do. And you need to beware the tendency of being too quick to want to correct everyone else and ignore yourself. All of us need to be careful about that, because it is easy to do that. I think about another passage, this one in Luke chapter 18. Luke 18 and verse 9 says that Jesus spake also this parable unto certain, now listen to the description, unto certain who trusted in themselves that they were righteous, and set all others at naught. So it's very important for us to see that. Very often in the teaching of Jesus, the first verse of the paragraph will tell us whom He is talking about and the point that He's basically going to make. Not always, but it certainly does here. He spake this parable, this illustration, unto certain who trusted in themselves that they were righteous, and set all others at naught. Two men went up to the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank Thee that I am not as the rest of men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in a week. I give tithes of all that I get. But the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote his breast, saying, God, be Thou merciful to me, for I am a sinner. That's all he could get out. That's all he could get out, because he was so overcome with his sin. But the Pharisee made a fairly eloquent little speech, because he was so full of himself that he had plenty to say. And then Jesus said, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be humbled, but he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. As we think about both the need to grow and the need to be able to examine oneself and see the areas where we need to grow, we need to remember the many passages such as Ephesians chapter 4, where Paul talks about the gift that Jesus gave to the church, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, unto the work of ministering, unto the building up of the body of Christ, till we all attain unto the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. A few verses later, that we may grow up in all things into Him who is the head. So many passages underline the necessity here of growth. But to do it, we have to be able to see ourselves and to look and find the areas where we need to improve. Paul wrote in Corinthians, in 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5, and said, "Prove yourselves whether you are in the faith. Study." He told the elders at Ephesus in Acts 20 and verse 28, "Take heed unto yourselves." We read a moment ago in 1 Timothy 4 where he said, "Take heed." This is a fairly common idea. The thread of self-examination and correction runs through virtually everything that Jesus taught. So the New Testament is just full of this idea of growth and what it takes to grow. So I want you to remember that point. The thread of self-examination and correction runs through all that Jesus taught. Now then, the point here is not constantly to pound oneself down into depression because I'm just no good. I'm just no good. I'm just no good. That's not the point here, and Jesus does not tell us to do that. He doesn't in any way indicate He wants us to do that. But He does want us to be able to examine ourselves from time to time and make the course corrections that are necessary. And to see things that we need to emphasize where we have not emphasized. Improve in areas where we fall short. This is a matter of growing. It's sort of like if you went out in the yard where you've got a little tree growing, and from time to time you go out and you check things. If you find a problem with it, that doesn't mean you just saw the tree down. You go out and do what the tree needs. If it's leaning a little, you may want to straighten it back up. So you put something soft around it, some rubber or something like that, and tie it over here to a stake. Or if something is eating it up, you put something on it to try to kill it out and kill the things that are eating it. You try to save the tree. You're trying to make the tree grow. You're not trying to kill the tree. And so that's the thing. To recognize the need to grow, we need to be able to look at ourselves, see the areas where we fail or do not measure up well, and then make correction of those things. Now then, the third thing, how? How are we going to do this? How can we do this? I know it is real. I know it can be done. So let me mention some things. These are not going to be any secret. First thing, we need to use God's Word as a mirror to see what we are and then what we ought to be. Now, you've heard me use this passage before. It is one that ought to be familiar with you, and that's the one in James 1, verses 23 through 25. When he talks about the one who hears the Word, but he doesn't do it. He is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a mirror, for he beholdeth himself, and goeth away, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and so continueth therein, being not a hearer that forgetteth, but a doer that worketh, this man shall be blessed in his doing. That's what we need to do. Use the Word of God. God's Word, what a treasure it is. What a value it is. There is nothing to compare with it. What a gift we have. I sometimes think that when we do get to heaven and we receive the enlightenment that will be there for all of us, I think that, I don't know whether we will or not, but at least as I think about it from this side of the thing, I wonder if I won't spend a few moments there saying, "Oh, now I see how important the Word was. Why didn't I see that then?" And then I will see prayer. Why didn't I see that? We have all these things now. And they're just as valuable now as they can possibly be. But we don't see the value the way we ought. We need to see the value of the Word and use that Word to help us to see what we are and then what we ought to be. 2 Peter chapter 1 is another passage I want you to look at with me for a moment in this matter of growth. How can we grow? We grow when we add the qualities that the Word of God encourages us to have. These verses are so powerful. Listen to them. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained a like precious faith with us in the righteousness of our God and the Savior Jesus Christ. Grace to you, and peace be multiplied in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, seeing that His divine power hath granted unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that called us by His own glory and virtue, whereby He has granted unto us His precious and exceeding great promises, that through these ye may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. Yea, and for this very cause, because you have done this, because you have been given this opportunity, adding on your part all diligence to your faith, add virtue, and to your virtue, knowledge, and in your knowledge, self-control, and in your self-control, steadfastness, and in your steadfastness, reverence for God, godliness. And in your godliness, brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness, love. For if these things are yours and abound, they make you to be not idle nor unfruitful unto the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. We grow by the study of the Word of God. Paul wrote Timothy, all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction, which is in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, furnished completely unto every good work. And for this reason he tells Timothy in the same letter, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, handling aright the word of truth. And in this very same letter that Peter wrote, from which we have been reading, at the end of the letter, he says, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. How may we grow? We also grow through prayer. Through prayer. James wrote in James chapter 1, if any among you lacketh wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all liberally and upbraideth not. Pray to God and ask Him, and He gives you and He helps you. But I'll be the first to say that His timetable is not the same as the one that I like to go by. I think that most of us, most human beings, feel that way about God's timetable. His thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. And His timetable is not our timetable either. The last point I want to make, areas of growth. Where should we grow? What areas are there? I start out with knowledge and application of the Word. I would like to encourage every one of us to become more and more familiar with the book, with God's Word. Know it. Store it up in our hearts. Know what it says. Know what it teaches. And be determined to make the proper application of it. In fact, these two ideas here are two of the attitudes listed in Isaiah 11, 1 and 2. When it describes the mind of Christ, the Spirit of the Lord would rest upon Him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. The true knowledge of God's Word and the full determination, or the determination to carry it out to the fullest. That's one area we really need to grow, knowledge and the application of God's Word. A second area in our relationship with God and with Jesus Christ. And in order for that to happen, we have to think about God a lot. We have to think about Jesus a lot. We have to do whatever it takes to keep these things on our minds. And we have to develop the consciousness, it's like God is my friend. Jesus is my friend, and He's always with me. He's always near. And I need to know that because God is also my judge. He is my creator. I need to be close to Him and with Jesus. A third area is in the use and exercise of worship and prayer. We need to make use of these things, and when we do it, we need to do them to our utmost. These things will also help us to grow. These are areas where we need to grow, to improve in our relationship with God as we worship Him and pray to Him. And another area of growth is in our attitudes toward others and in our relationship with others. Now then, if you would think about it, you can see that that really will pretty well sum it up, even though you could break it down into categories maybe a little bit, but that pretty well sums it up, because when Jesus was asked, you know, what is the greatest commandment, He said, well, the first and great commandment is, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. And then He said, and the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Upon these two commandments hangeth the whole law and the prophets. But these are areas where we need to grow, and we need to look at ourselves. In other words, see, you need to say, do I know God's Word like I ought to? Have I really spent much time, regular, continuing time studying it? Can I fix that? Am I going to start doing that today? When am I going to start doing that? And if we have problems with our fellow man, with our family, or whatever, we need to ask, is this my problem? Am I doing everything I could? You know, we need to think about that. And I want to encourage every one of us to give thought to the matter of growing individually. What are the areas where you need to grow? What are the areas where I need to grow? Let's think about that. And let's do as Peter instructed there at close of 2 Peter, Peter 3:18, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If you're not a Christian today, we'd like to encourage you to become one. Become a Christian. Turn your life over to God. That's when the seed is planted and when it takes root, you begin to grow. So why don't you become a Christian, believing that Jesus is the Christ, repent of your sins, confess your faith, be baptized, to have your sins forgiven. We sure would like you to do that. But God would like you to do that, because I know that's so, because the Bible tells me God would have all men to be saved. And He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come unto repentance. So I know He wants you to. So if anyone is subject today to that invitation and you'd like to become a Christian, we'd like to encourage you to do that as we stand and sing.